stand. If you have your Bible, I would like to invite you to join me toward the end of your Bible in the book of James, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We'll do our confession in just a moment. We haven't had done that in a while. But while you're turning, let me just let you know that today, God willing, I will conclude a series, just three parts, on battles that every Christian faces, who we fight against. And I'll say a little bit more about that in just a moment. But today we'll wrap that up. And so I thank God that you're here. Thank God for those of you joining online. Again, verses will be on the screen. We won't look them all up for sake of time. But again, as we come to the end of this time, we do want to share communion together before we dismiss, okay? James chapter 4, if you've found it or if you're still looking, it's okay. It's all right. You don't have to stop. I want to put a confession on the screen we like to share often. If you agree with it as you read it, we invite you to confess it with us. Okay, you ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Sound great. Can I ask someone a favor? Maybe one of you brothers toward the back. Would you mind getting me another bottle of water? I have one in the office and didn't bring it. Sorry. I got to have it. All right. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. But he, speaking of God, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Thank you, Rick. Therefore, verse 7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's the message this morning. Those three words I want to center on today. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. I said earlier, all Christians battle what I would say, we face battles on at least three fronts, We battle a world system that is opposed to God and is under the sway of the evil one, the Bible says. We battle our own human tendency to sin. Sometimes the Bible calls it the flesh. It's not just speaking of our body. It's speaking of a sinful nature that we inherited from our ancestors. That's why Jesus wants to give us a new heart. And we also battle evil spirits who are allied with Satan. And this world system is characterized by sinful desires and pride. They're called the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Lust of the flesh, again, sinful desires. We can have godly desires too, and thank God for them. But sinful desires and pride. And Satan has used these since the Garden of Eden. Let me read you two verses if you stay right there in James, okay? In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, this is so important. It says, now the serpent was more cunning. Would you say cunning? Cunning. He's crafty, subtle, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The devil will always try to get us to doubt the importance and the power and the truth of God's word. And he's going to always charge God with wrong. God is holding something out on you. He just don't want you to have fun. He don't want you to have this good thing for you. Verse 6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. That's the lust of the eyes. And a tree desirable to make one wise. That's the pride of life. She took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. This is how the devil operates. He's done the same thing since the Garden of Eden, and it's worked pretty well for him till 2,000 years ago. He tried it on this one man. We'll talk about him a little bit more in a minute. He showed us how to have victory, and he showed us how to resist the devil so that he will flee from us. I want to say this right off the start. I know it's easy sometimes to say, well, and I get it. The devil does attack us. He accuses us. He'll dog us, hound us, and harass us. But if we are followers of Jesus, we are not helpless little victims here. We are bought with the blood of Jesus, indwelt by the Spirit of God, and by his grace, we can resist the devil. God is a loving Father, and he didn't leave us to fight this battle alone. He made a way for us to have victory so that we can do his will and live in his full blessings. Now, Israel, the battles they faced are illustrations for us in the battles we face. You see how they relate. Because God told them, this land is for you. I'm promised. I'm giving you my word. But the enemies aren't just going to lay down and let you take it. You have to go possess it. And in the same way, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. But that doesn't mean the devil just lays down and lets us have them. We sometimes have to battle to possess what God promised. I'll say that again. Sometimes we have to battle to possess what God promised. In Joshua chapter 9, again, if you hang out right there in James, I want to give you a few verses for sake of time, but let me just read this to you because we've already seen, if I'll mention this. We looked at how to overcome the world system pictured by Jericho, and Israel defeated them because they're on the way to the promised land. This is part of it. We looked at how to overcome our own sinful tendencies at the Battle of Ai. And now, here is the third one. It's a picture of Satan. See if this sounds familiar. This is Joshua chapter 9, verse 3. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, I'm sorry, let me mention this real quick before I forget. If you were not here or if you want to review, I took all my notes that I use on Sunday morning and put them on our website. So they're available. I'll leave them up at least another week. Here they are. It's the initials of the church, CLM and the word family, clmfamily.org, clmfamily.org. Would you say that with me? clmfamily.org. So they're there if you want them. And it says, verse 4, they worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors. Does that sound like someone we just read about worked craftily? That we read about in Genesis 3 and pretended to be ambassadors. It says they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, and old garments on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And then this is what it says in verse 6. They went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country, now therefore make a covenant with us. The devil will always try to get us to compromise with him, to enter into an agreement with him, but he does it by deception and pretending. Would you drop down now to verse 8. But they said to Joshua, we are your servants. And Joshua said to them, who are you and where are you from? So they said, from a very far country, and your servants have come. I want to pause there just a minute. Three times in this little passage, they said, we're your servants. And twice they said, make a covenant with us. So here they come up and they tell Joshua and the leaders of Israel, look, this is how far we've come. We had brand new backpacks and we left. And now look how old and weather beaten and wore out they are. And look at this bread of ours, hot out of the oven. Now it's crusty and moldy. And we had a wineskin that was nice and fresh and now it's dried up. And our sandals were fresh right off the shelf. And now they're all old and ripping apart and patched up. And we've got all this and we're your servants. Make a covenant with us. And this is what happened. Would you look at verse 14? It says, the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. That's always a bad move. Verse 15, so Joshua made peace with them. Let me give you this scripture if you want to write it down. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2. Because they come in and we're your servants, we're your servants. I can assure you, The devil may present himself as a servant to us. He may present sin as a servant to us, but it's only to deceive us and enslave us. This is what the Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. And then notice, please, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Do you see what he's ultimately after? Deceive us, keep us away from truth, come into an agreement with me, and we make an agreement, and then he dogs us. And he'll trap us, he will. Jesus said he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Resist the devil. Would you look at that again, James 4:7? Let me get back here with you. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That word resist means to oppose or stand against. Here is, and we can do this without knowing it. It can be well-intentioned, and it can be more like, I resist you, devil, I resist you, devil. That's not the way to win and resist the devil. Brother Mark, would you just stand right there for a second? Here's what, you just come out here so people can see. Just, I'm going to get you to face. No, yeah, right, just sideways right here.
Okay, all
right. Here's how we resist. Stand against. It's to oppose. So to resist the devil, it's, I'm not running. Don't hurt me. I'll show you that, how Jesus did it. But I want you to get that image of it's to oppose. In fact, Ephesians 6:13 says this. Ephesians 6:13, let me read it if you want to write it down. Therefore, take up the whole armor. That's so important. I don't know if y'all noticed the picture that Clarence put with the title of the message today. I didn't know what it was, and I saw it up there this morning. It's the armor, and you got that sword, and you got the Bible, so you can see that up there now. So he says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to, and this is 6:13, that you may be able to withstand. See that word withstand? It's the exact same word translated resist in James. Withstand the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, we can't do that in our own strength. Juan and I were talking recently, I don't know if it was last week or a couple weeks ago, he was reading in Acts and how there was a man who had a demon in him, and there was a Jewish priest who had 7 sons, and the 7 sons were going to cast the demon out of this man. They weren't believers. They just said, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And that spirit said, I know Jesus and I know Paul. Who are you? And the spirit in that man mauled all 7 of these men, wounded them, beat them up, ripped their clothes off. They run out, run away. So, but we don't have to be afraid of the devil. If we're in Christ, we've got the whole armor and the spirit of God, and we can resist him and he'll flee from us. Resist the devil. Would you say that with me? Resist the devil. Would you turn to someone next to you and just smile and tell them, resist the devil? Now, let me give you this real quick, all right? 3 steps from Scripture of how to resist the devil. It's easy to say resist him, but if I don't know how, it's so important. So if you want to write these down, again, I will put them on the screen. Let me just read a few verses to you. You can stay there again, right where you are. Let me give you this first one by the Scripture. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. I'll read it to you. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13 says, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. That means spiritually, our sin separates us from a holy God, so we're considered spiritually dead, all right? He says, he has made us alive together with him. When we turn from our sin and unbelief and receive Jesus as Lord of our lives under the drawing of God's Spirit, We are born again, and he makes us alive in Christ and forgives all of our sins. Notice what he says here. He's made us alive together with him, having forgiven you how many? Now, that ought to cause somebody other than me to say, thank you, Lord. Because I can still remember some stuff. And I thank God for forgiveness from all sins. Verse 14, he wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And then finally, verse 15, having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them. Jesus made a public spectacle of the devil and all his forces triumphing over them in the cross. That's why I wanted to sing the old rugged cross this morning, because the same cross of Jesus that sets us free from a world system that wants to dominate and control us is the same cross of Jesus that sets us free from our own sinful nature that wants to dominate and controls. And it's the same cross of Jesus that defeated the devil and all his forces who still try to dominate and control us. There is victory through the cross of Jesus Christ. Always the glory to God. And thank God for the cross. So here's the first step. How do we resist the devil? First, we got to believe God. Do I actually believe what I just read? And I'll even say it this way. I would even go further. This is for me. I say believe God's word, because it's easy to say, well, God told me. And to be honest, God can get blamed for some decisions and actions that he didn't have anything to do with. I'm not being mean. That's just being honest. So we always want to come back to God's word. So believe God. I can resist the devil, not because of anything I did, but because Jesus defeated him at Calvary. I saw a shirt years ago. It was like for a youth shirt. It said, Jesus beat the devil with an ugly stick. Through the cross, Jesus won the victory. So Jesus actually did win the victory for us, and thank God that he did. What looked like the ultimate defeat was the ultimate victory instead. Now, Jesus showed us, if you want to write this down in Luke chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, how to use that sword and how to actually resist the devil. This is part of the armor of God, is the sword of the Spirit. Luke chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says this, Luke chapter 4 and verse 3. Jesus answered him saying, it is written. Would you say that with me? It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I'm sorry, let me back up to verse 3. Because Jesus hadn't eaten in 40 days. And the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. It's not wrong to eat. The devil will try to tempt us to go about meeting a legitimate need in the wrong way. Then Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here's how we resist the devil. It is written, and we come back with that specific scripture. That's the sword of the Spirit. And when Satan got stabbed, he said, all right, let me try this one. How about, let me show you all the kingdoms of the world, and I'll give them all to you. You just worship me. It is written. Oh, how about if you're the Son of God, prove it. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple there. Because scripture says he'll give his angels charge over you. Oh, wait, the devil quoted scripture? Yes, but not for God's purpose and out of context. We don't tempt the Lord. So what did Jesus do again? It is written. And when he got stabbed that third time, he said, I'm out of here. That's how we resist the devil, brothers and sisters. It's using the sword of the Spirit. God gave us the whole armor, but it's up to us to use it. So believe God. Would you say that with me? Believe God. James 4, let's look at it again. Chapter 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So first, we have to believe God. Second, we must be humble. Be humble. Humility comes before resisting. Humility comes before resisting. What is humility? Putting myself down? No. It's lifting God up. It's recognizing who he is and who I am. But humility recognizes I need God and I need his grace to empower me to resist the devil. I can't do this on my own. I want to show you too that humility recognizes we need other godly believers in our lives to stand together. We're stronger together. Would you please turn to someone next to you and tell them that? We're stronger together. Would you turn over to 1 Peter, the next book, chapter 5? 1 Peter chapter 5, a scripture very similar to what we just read in James. He adds a little more detail to it. 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'll begin reading in verse 5, okay? The Bible says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you. Be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility." Why? "For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care, all your anxieties upon him." Why? "For he cares for you." And then two more verses, verse 8. "Be sober," that means sober-minded, "be vigilant, be alert, watchful, because your adversary." I know often we can say the enemy, and that's true, but I like to make sure we understand it's personal. It's your adversary. Just like Jesus, if he's Lord, he's my Lord. He is Lord, but what makes the difference is he's my Lord. He's my shepherd. God is my father. So he says, "Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour." And then verse 9, "resist him." Would you say that with me? "Resist him steadfast." We have to be steadfast in our faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Thank God we don't have to face our battles alone. But do you see the context there of how important it is that we have that godly fellowship and we stand together? We're stronger together. So to, first of all, believe God's word, and then to be humble, because you know why Satan was cast out of heaven? God didn't create the devil. He created an angel called Lucifer. But when his pride led him to think he was going to be equal with God, God cast him out like lightning. So if we are proud in that sense, then we play right into the devil's hands and right into his ways and strategies. And instead of the devil resisting us, or us resisting the devil, God resists us. That's what he said. Humble yourselves because God will resist the proud. I don't want God resisting me. I want his grace. So Lord, if that's what I got to humble myself, then that's what I'll do. Be humble. Would you look at this again, the context of it? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Humble yourself and cast all on the one who cares for us, the one who loved us and gave himself for us, the one who is an all-powerful God and Father. Trust me, humble yourself. Someone said we either trust God or we play God. And sometimes I hold on to an anxiety or care because I think I need to be the one to work it out instead of trusting God and releasing it. But don't miss the context here. Humble yourselves. Cast how many? All your cares, anxieties onto the Lord because he cares for you. Then be sober, be watchful, because your adversary, if you don't humble yourself and cast it onto me, your adversary is going to try to use it to devour you. I'll just let that one sink in a minute. Because how many of us can relate? That's just being real. Lord, help us. Humble myself. Cast, receive your grace. Because if we don't, he's looking for whom he may devour. So would you say, believe God. Be humble. And be watchful. And that's the third step. Believe God, be humble, be watchful. Let me give you a couple scriptures on this, and we'll be done. Right there, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, once again. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober-minded, that's what that means. The word vigilant there means watchful, alert. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. God is all-knowing. The devil is not. So he has to look. I studied, some of you may know, I wanted to train tigers at one time years ago. And I studied about the big cats. And sometimes lions would hunt in what are called prides. They would go out like in a group together. And they would try to find maybe one isolated, like an impala or whatever it is. And some of the lionesses would typically do it, would just go, just kind of start coughing in that tall grass, and they're going to alert. Oh, and then they get scared, and they run right into the lions waiting them on the other side. Isn't that how the devil, he wants to get us in a panic and get us, whatever it might be, some say halt, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. I like to say instead of hungry, hurting. Then we really have to be careful. When I'm hurting, when I'm angry, when I'm lonely and I'm tired, I got to be mindful and keep my guard up because I know that devourer will want to try to attack me in a moment of weakness. Halt. Resist him, scripture says, steadfast in the faith. Let me read this scripture to you, Luke 4:13, and then I got one last scripture and we're done. Luke 4:13, back to where Jesus was tempted by the devil, and this is what it says. It says, when the devil had ended every temptation of Jesus, he departed from him until when? An opportune time. That's why I said the devil doesn't know it all. So he has to look, and if he sees something that gives him an open door, he will try to attack us then. So we got to be aware. Does that make sense? We got to resist the devil. So I have to believe God's word. I have to believe him. I must be humble. Lord, I need you. But I believe you won the victory for me. And then I got to be alert. The devil doesn't play nice. I always be mindful that he would try to attack at any time, in any moment. Not so that I'm scared, so that I'm prepared. Thank God. Let me give you this last scripture if you want to write it down and we're done. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. I want you to see that the devil's fate is already sealed. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. Says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Thank God. The devil's fate has already been sealed, brothers and sisters. We can resist the devil. But until that day, by God's grace and by the power of his Spirit, we can resist the devil by doing what God told us to do in his word, and he will flee from us. Do you believe that this morning? Resist the devil. Believe God. Be humble. Be watchful. Let me close with this. You can, if you just look at me, please. I will share my own heart with you here from my own experiences. Some battles are just tougher than others. And some victories take longer than others. I don't have the answer. I don't know the time frame on all of that. All I know is, by God's grace, if we stay in close fellowship with him, we will walk in every promise that is ours in Christ. We will do God's will. We will be fruitful, and we will one day stand before him and receive our rewards for being faithful right now. But the victory has already been won by Jesus. We just have to believe him and live it out and possess those promises just like Israel had to do to possess their promises. We got greater promises because we have a greater covenant and a great high priest. Resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Thank God we can believe his word. Let's believe God for victory today, even in that battle you're going through right now, in that battle I'm going through today, right now. Let's believe God that the victory that Jesus won for us is already ours if we believe and receive. A song's coming to mind before we close. We'll have a song and then have communion. Shane and Shane have a song called I'm Fighting a Battle That's Already Been Won. I almost have to sing it to remember the words. Let me try it, okay? I'm fighting a battle that you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. Thank you, God. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. Amen. Let's stand together. Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you for victory today. I got to say this. I know it can be so frustrating and discouraging when you feel like, man, you fight the same battle and you get defeated again and again and again. I want to say this. God doesn't give up on you. When you fall, be quick to repent. Let's all of us be quick to repent, stay close to God, and we just got one step closer to the victory. I call it falling forward. We can fall in a way that helps strengthen us rather than weakens us. So, Father, may you do it for your own glory and honor. We thank you for your faithfulness today. Thank you, Jesus. I pray today for that one, maybe more, who just need that encouraging word to know that you're not against us, Lord, you're for us. And since you're on our side, we can walk in victory and we will do it as a testimony for you. Let that be the reason. We want to glorify you and we want to point others to you, the same Savior and Father and God that we walk with, so that they can come and be a part of the family too, for whom you loved and died. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just sing this?